If you are a mother, if you would just stand with me, please, if you're a mom. And I want to pray over you, and I want to thank you. And we're gonna see how Jesus and his mother behaved today. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus had a mom? He had a mom just like us. And you know what's so cool about Jesus' mom? She acted just like all of you all. She was as human as a mom, and she brought Jesus in. And she loved Jesus. And she mothered the Son of God. Isn't that interesting? Well, let's pray together. Father, I just want to thank you for these mothers. Lord, I want to thank you for the many hours they've prayed that nobody knows about. Lord, I want to thank you for the dreams that were in their lives from the moment of their children's birth. Lord, I want to thank you for the endless hours of worry that they put in to make sure everything's okay. And Lord, I want to thank you that they never give up and they have that uncanny ability to be there to the end. And so God, may these mothers feel blessed today. And right now, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you touch each one of them. You secure them wherever their children are right now. You touch their children and you let them feel your blessing this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Moms, you may be seated. I want to thank you all. How many of you all are in here? Everybody had a mother somewhere. Okay, yeah, it's pretty common topic. And I wanted to preach today on Mother's Day, and I want you to get this line. To me, the most important thing a mother can do is reveal Jesus. Is reveal Jesus. Now, think with me just a moment, because really what happens when we ask Jesus Christ into our lives, we get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're connected to heaven. And we're given a new life. So we have to ask the question, if God is already connecting me to heaven, then what is the purpose of me staying here on earth and taking breath? Well, there's a purpose. To reveal the kingdom of God. To reveal full and abundant life through the human experience. I think one of the ways that God speaks to us clearly, okay, is this. Through the role of mother and the role of father. And it's interesting when you have a good mom and dad, and not everybody gets a good mom and dad, okay? Just because it's Mother's Day, I'm not going Hallmark, okay? Not everybody gets a good mother and a good father, but I'm going to tell you, you know what? God is always a good mother and good father. One of the ways I look at God is not just father, but I also see a very mothering side of God. How many of you all see God doing both mom and dad at the same time? There are times that God's more like a father. And he'll take us out to the woodshed and we'll have a little conversation about our conduct. But then also there's times that God is much like a mom. Let me ask you a question. When you were a small child, 2-3 years old, and you were running somewhere and you fell and you skinned your knee, who did you cry out to?
Mom.
Why? How many of y'all had a mom could fix all medical problems? It's amazing to me in the middle of the night when there is a moment of sickness, you never hear this, Dad. You never hear that. My children never cried out for their daddy when they were in pain. They always cried out for their mama because they knew their mama had Snoopy Band-Aids. Snoopy Band-Aids would heal anything in our house. Hey, you know, you got a major illness, Snoopy, heal you. They cry for their mom. Well, there's a very mothering side of God where God picks us up when we're broken and we skin our knees and we hurt ourselves emotionally. And there's that side of God that is very feminine. You know that? And He reaches down and He mothers us and He nurtures us and He tells us that things are going to be okay. We run into one of my favorite stories in the Bible. I hope you will enjoy this encounter in the Bible. In the Gospel of John, 2nd chapter. It is so human. It's why I love this story. That Jesus Christ is so human and Jesus is relating to His mom. How many of you all enjoyed your mother? And I'm just going to challenge you to do something today. You need to call your mom up and just tell her thanks. And if you're a male like me, you need to ask her forgiveness and then tell her thanks. How many? My poor mother. I love my mother, but man, she went through some things. My mom's a holy woman, and she is. I've called her praying before. I even, in an illness, I saw her under morphine, and I was waiting for her to say something she wasn't supposed to, and all she talked about was Kroger coupons. She has a pure heart. You can't even drug her and get something out of her. And she had to raise me. And I did things like this to her. We went to the First Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, which was ceremonial and sanctimonious and all that kind of good stuff. And I had a big old four-wheel drive truck back then. Big old four-wheel drive, 1977, step-side four-wheel drive, jacked up in the air. And I had a license plate on it at one time. It said, "The only hell my mama's ever raised was me." Now, guess what? This is what my poor mama had to go through. And I would make sure I parked it right in the front of the church so that when she walked into church, she could read my license plate. And I'd even look to see how she'd react to it. And you know what she did most of the time? Instead of reacting, she just prayed. And here I am today. So if you got a praying mama, here's what I found in mothering. My mama could raise more heaven than I could hell. Now, that's a mama.
Yeah.
Mamas, I'm going to encourage you to raise heaven in your house. And most of you do. I see you here at church. I get tickled sometimes. I see these young mothers coming in. They got 15 bags. It still amazes me. Something that weighs under 10 pounds takes 25 pounds to care for it. You know, bags, and Chris, you probably got a bunch of bags, and they got carriers, and now they got all kinds of apparatuses, and that mom is making sure that child is going to make it in life. But here's what I know about mothers. First of all, they know Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you, moms, I want you to know Jesus. And if you're a mother here today that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to encourage you to embrace the greatest decision of your life, and that's to ask Jesus Christ into your life. If you're a mother here today and you're still praying for a renegade son, I want to encourage you today, do not give up. This is the church of the prodigals. And I tell you what, it's been more than once. Been more than once, guys. I've had some old guy about my age walk in here and say, "I'm going to receive Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior." My mama's been praying for me for 35 years. But I finally got it. Mamas, I'm going to tell you, do not quit praying. I don't care how far off they get, they are not out of reach from your prayers. Amen? So keep praying for those children. And the third thing is this, mothers know their children. How many of y'all found this? If you'd listened to your mom, you'd have been better off. How many of y'all found it? If you'd listened to your mom, you'd been better off. I've discovered this now later in life. It's too late, Nathan, to go back and get something, but it's not too late for you, Doc. You ready? Listen to what godly parents are trying to say, why they want to bless you. Now see, a godly parent wants their children to supersede their place in life. An ungodly parent has to be recognized. A godly parent wants God to be recognized in their children. A godly parent wants God to be recognized in their children, and they will do anything to get their children into that relationship with God because they know that's the best possible life. You know, Dale, I love education. I love top-notch students, but guess what? You can be number one in your class and out of relationship, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that means you're going to be really smart going to hell. So how smart's that? You can have all the money in the world. I mean, you can have billions and zillions of dollars. And guess what? You don't have a relationship with God, you're going to be a rich man going to hell. You can be the toughest, just most athletic, most wonderful superstar in the world, and you're just going to be a superstar going to hell. So the greatest thing you can have in life is to connect with Jesus Christ. How many of y'all would believe that in here? I mean, does anybody believe that in here? Is anybody awake this Mother's Day? That's the greatest thing that's going to happen. I just can't tell you how blessed it is to be a part of Jesus Christ, because when you die, you live in heaven. That is great news. And we've downplayed that news. We've made it some kind of religious system instead of this wonderful relationship where God says, "I am going to live with you forever. And you are going to live with me forever. And I'm never going to let go." Jesus is a celebration. I've also found this. Moms love to celebrate. How many of y'all find moms love to celebrate? When I came in this morning, everybody asked me, they said, "Pastor, why are you in a suit? Mama's Day." I'm in a suit because my mom likes me in a suit. And I got to thinking this morning, all the things I've done to my mom, the least I could do is wear a suit this morning. But you know what I found? I've had a godly mother, still have a godly mother, will always have a godly mother. Even when my mom, in fact, I'm glad my mom's still here on earth. I'm going to get more nervous when she has direct access to God. Because I know she'd be in the cloud of witnesses going, Lord, can I have your attention just a minute? You see what he's doing right there? Do something about that, will you, Lord? Because you know what? That's what she did when she was here on earth. How many of y'all have a mother that walks in faith and doesn't doubt what God can do? Just doesn't doubt it. And doesn't say much. You want to be a mom of great power, don't say much. But know who to talk to. Now let's look at the second chapter of John. Second chapter of John. Here's what I found. Just heads up. Moms, nagging your children will not get them to respond. Taking your children to Jesus will get them to move. Now let's look at Jesus and mom here. It's interesting. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus' disciples had also been invited to the wedding. Now, I just want to note this. I'm going to go real quick through this today, but isn't it neat that Jesus would be invited to a wedding? And his disciples would be invited to a wedding. Guess what this means? They were likable people. It wasn't like, oh, we got Jesus and his bunch coming to the wedding. We got to be careful. You know, we can't wear a certain type of robe, or we can't do this. No, Jesus was going to a wedding. And a wedding is a celebration. And a wedding is a place where new life is celebrated and new relationships are celebrated. This is a place that Jesus fits in real well. By the way, they're going to have wine at the wedding. This is not a Church of Christ wedding or a Baptist wedding. It's a Jewish wedding. And it's wine. I just want y'all to know from a real pastor what it really was. It's not grape juice. You say, well, I've been told all my life it's grape juice. You've been lied to. That isn't all you've been lied to about. Because Jesus is not here to make us some little Leave It to Beaver religious community. Jesus is here to come into the world as it is and expose heaven. And do not bring Jesus down to your level of morality, but rise to his. Amen? Now, mama knew who her boy was. I just think it's interesting that Jesus and his mama are at a wedding together. I've often wondered, did Mary have to beg Jesus to go to the wedding? Men, how many of y'all get it? Now, let's get honest engine this morning. How many of y'all get excited on a Saturday? Nathan, let me borrow your pulpit here. Nathan, can you imagine? You got some of your friends. How many times do you get excited? You know, college football's playing on a Saturday, and some girl has decided to get married during playoffs. Ladies, pay attention to the playoff schedule. Your man can't be fully excited about you while the playoffs are going on. Get married in February. Yeah, all football's off. No, I'm kidding. Watch. I wonder, though, if Jesus' mom had to go, Jesus, we got this wedding. This is Ruthie's wedding. We've known each other for a long time. I know her cousins. I know our whole family, and I want you to be there at the wedding. And Jesus is going, Mom, we got some miracles to do today. We got some teaching to get done. I want you there. How many of y'all, your mom's ever done that to you? How many of y'all have ever heard this one? You're going whether you like it or not. I heard that one every Sunday morning. Well, Mom, those people are hypocrites there. They may be, but you're going. And I'd get this one. Stephen, your job is to listen to God and not look around the church. But what if I don't want to hear him? He will still speak. I'm not arguing with you. She had two fathers she would talk to, the Father who art in heaven and the Father who was here on earth. Those two fathers made radical difference in my life, both of them. She'd call on them constantly. Do you want me to tell your daddy? But I wonder if Jesus had this dilemma. You know what I'm talking about? You know, Jesus going, Mom, I got to work with Dad. He's got some serious project. You're going to the wedding. But anyway, he shows up at the wedding. He's invited to the wedding. Y'all got a sense of this? Our Jesus was invited to a wedding, a celebration. And I just want to encourage you all. I think we ought to be people that are at least worthy of being invited. How many of you all are invited to events of the world, or are you so prudish nobody wants you there? I get accused of this all the time. People meet me and I'm out somewhere and we're just talking, we're having a big time, and they can't believe I'm a pastor. And here's the reason they can't believe I'm a pastor. I enjoy life. And you see, in their image, in their mind, Christians are supposed to be these fuddy-duddy people that are walking around preaching rules to everybody. It's interesting to me, Jesus didn't do this at the wedding. Now, a wedding is a celebration. Let me tell you what's going on at the wedding. There is music at the wedding. Now, it was interesting to me that Jesus didn't make it to the ceremony, but he did the reception. In a real sense, Jesus is almost crashing the wedding here. He's coming to the reception, and apparently they're in a dilemma at the reception. Let's look what happens here. Now, Jesus' mom was there with him, so the family's gathered. The disciples are there, and what does mom do? When the wine was gone, how many of y'all have had the wine go? Well, the wine's gone. The celebration is in dilemma. That's what's going on. Now, please, I do not want to get hung up on wine today. I know that we're in a Baptist church and we're in South Central Kentucky. This verse is not about wine. It's about celebration. It's not about wine. It's not about alcohol. That's not Jesus' issue. That's your issue. This is about life. The party'd run dry. And look at who Jesus' mom goes to, her son. Moms, now how many of you all know your son better than they know themselves sometimes? Moms know their children. Mary knew Jesus. Look what she does. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." And Jesus, you know, I can hear Jesus thinking here. I came to the wedding. I didn't come here to make wine. I don't know why you're bothering me with this. I didn't want to go anyway. The playoffs are today, but no, you made me come to the wedding. No, I don't know. Jesus, there, he's at the wedding. And Jesus, why do you now, sons and daughters, do not give the same reply Jesus did because you're not Jesus. Blake Ayers does not want to give this reply to his mother. Why do you involve me, woman? That's not a good reply. For humans that are not fully God. But it's a great question. Why do you want to involve me? Think about that. One of the things that moms do is involve their children in Jesus' activity. Even when they don't want to. It's interesting. What's Mary doing here? Revealing Jesus. "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." Interesting verse here. Mary does not listen to Jesus. What do you think about that? She doesn't listen to him. How many of y'all, your mom's not listened to you before? It's a very godly activity from mothers. You'll just be na-na-na-na-na-na-na. I mean, I can imagine looking at my mom. "Mom, my time has not yet come." Well, that's good. Then she eventually, just with incredible faith in who Jesus is, guess what she does? She says, his mother says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." What is that? The faith of a mother. Do whatever he tells you to do. Mothers, you want a great line for mothering? You want a great line that will set your children on fire in the kingdom of God, that will allow them to live a great life? Then you tell them to do whatever he tells you. You want to be a parent that lives out the fullness of life. You guide your children to do whatever Jesus tells them to do, and they'll have the best thing. Amen? Mary set this pattern. She looked at those servants. She said, "You do whatever he tells you to do." I can just see her getting mom-like too. You know what I mean? Got these servants, you do whatever he tells you. And walks off. How many of y'all have ever met a woman that will not accept no for an answer? How many of y'all have ever met a determined woman? Praise God for them. How many of y'all pray? They'll wear you out, but praise God for them. Amen? Because what are they on? How many of y'all have ever met a woman on a mission? They're unstoppable. Note in the Bible, who's always around when things get tough? I don't believe it was the men who were there at the tomb first thing on Sunday morning. Who was it? It's women. Here they are. They're dragging in there. I can't believe it. Women going at it. Where are the men? Hiding. Because men think very logically. They say, we get caught around that tomb, somebody's going to kill us. Women think opposite. We see something around the tomb, we're going to kill them. You see what I'm saying? It's a different thought. Different thought process. Jesus says, do whatever he tells you to do. Boy, there's a great parenting line. Mothers and fathers. Try that on your kids. I got one fixing to graduate. Blake knows this. Blake, what I want you to do is whatever he tells you to do. Now you got to submit to this. Jesus has a greater plan for your children than you do. So here's what I know. The best plan I have is limited to my fallacy. But Jesus has a plan that is not flawed. Get it in your children. Do whatever he tells you. Well, who did he tell that to? The servants? Well, guess what he tells? And then you got just Jesus kind of, all right. Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus just does a Jesus kind of thing here. You know what he says? Fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. Now, it's interesting to me. What are they doing here? I want you to look at Mary for a minute. We're going to look at Mary. What are they doing? Why? She told them to. What is it about her that is making these? I mean, first of all, if I was one of the servants, I'd be a little freaked out here. We're out of wine. This is a bad problem at a Jewish wedding. Because we're going to make everybody look bad. Can you hear Mary's heart here? This is probably a friend of Mary's. And she's going, oh no, they've run out of wine. This is going to look bad. This is going to be the discussion on Monday. Yeah, we went to the wedding. They're so cheap, they didn't even have enough wine. They ran out immediately. This family doesn't have it together. And she goes to her son and says, you do. Then she looks at the servants and says, you do what he tells you. And walks off. And then Jesus says weird things. Take these six ceremonial washing jars that were used for purification. Hello, Jesus is doing something here. They were used for what? They were used for what? Hold that thought. To be pure, to be washed, to be cleansed. And Jesus says, you fill those with water. Hello. Now, I know you all are good Baptists and have descended from a lot of you from the South, and you don't know anything about wine, but it's made from grapes. Smashed up grapes. Grape juice gone wild. That's what wine is. Okay? And Jesus said, put water in the jars. Now hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. How many times has your mama asked you to do something ridiculous? Come on, get them up. How many times has your mom looked at you and talked to you and told you what God wanted in your life and you just looked at her and thought, woman, you are crazy. Blake and Clancy, have you ever heard your mama say something that was totally ridiculous? Yes, you have, because I thought it was too. But it's words from a what? A mother. And you get words from a mother that knows Jesus, you got a word. A big word. These servants apparently believe me. They believe Mary, Shane, because you know what? They're filling the jars up with water. The servants must have had a mother and realized that when you do what a mom says, something's going to happen even though it doesn't make sense. Now, I'm just going to help you with this right here. It does not make sense to put water in ceremonial cleansing jars to get wine. I mean, why didn't Jesus do something logical? Like, y'all bring me some grapes. I mean, he didn't even do this one. If you just give me a drop, I'll multiply it. He said, what about these six jars right here? Put water in them. Put water in them. Put what? Water in them. Well, look what happens. So they did. Jesus said, fill them to the brim. They filled them to the brim. Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first. This would be another indication why this isn't grape juice. The choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. Well, I mean, y'all know, it's like in Kentucky. You start out with, you always know somebody's got a drinking problem if they end up with Cook's beer. That's a drinking problem. And if you've been drinking Cooks, you come on to the altar right now. We need to get that straightened out. Because things have gotten bad. We're biblically out of line. Amen? Let's just get real. Yeah. If you're paying $3 a case, that's the cheap stuff, okay? And look what he said. Now, they always bring out the good stuff last when the guests have had too much. But you have saved the best till now. Words from a mother. Words from a mother. You know what Mary was doing? Revealing who Jesus was. Moms, I got one message for you today in the name of Jesus. Your pastor's got one message for you. You reveal who Jesus is to your children. And to reveal Him, there's three things you must do constantly. You do one of them naturally. Pray. I found that women just pray naturally. That fills the water up in those jars. Pray. Learn the Word of God and expose your children to the Word of God. Learn the Word of God and expose your children to the Word of God. Keep the Word of God in front of them. Not just on Sunday. I'm talking on Monday. And you don't have to preach them and give them verse and book. You got to know the Spirit of God's truth and you just hand it to them all the time. My mom was the worst. Friday night altar calls were horrible. I would have temptations in my mind that I wanted to entertain. She would always go, Stephen. It was always Stephen. Why couldn't it just be Steve? Stephen, remember who you are and remember who you serve. Ah! It's hard to do things when you have this little woman pictured in your head going, remember who you are and who you serve. Finally, I'd go, who am I, Mama? She'd go, you know, and walk off. See, I'm going to tell you, what I've learned is fewer words have greater impact. Moms, I just want to encourage you on that. If you notice, Mary didn't preach to Jesus and have a theological discussion about when His time would be. She just told the servants, you do what He says. That's a faith. You do what He says. I got enough faith in Jesus that He'll come through. Do what He says. How many of you moms got enough faith in Jesus? He's going to do what He says. Here's what the Word says. Let me tell you about children. He said, raise them in the ways of the Lord. You got to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And it says, they'll return. Hello? So if the Scripture says they'll return, what is the possibility of there? Some of them might wander.
Yeah.
How many of y'all have ever had a kid wander off? Who usually has to find them?
I did.
Yeah, mama. How many of y'all, when you were a little kid, ever wandered off of your mom and got lost?
Yep.
Yeah. I had a wandering problem when I was a little kid. We had to go shopping with our moms back then.
Yep.
This is an ancient time when, like, parents took their kids everywhere. Remember that time?
Yes.
There were no daycares. You went to the mall with your mom. You went to the grocery store with your mom. She tied you to the shopping cart. Yeah. I'm serious. And they'd look at you like this. You move away from this shopping cart, your life will end today. And you're sitting there going, Houchins is not a nice place to die. You know, you got to think about these things. Yeah. You didn't have kids getting kidnapped much back then because their moms had their eye on them the whole time. They knew where they were, and more than knowing where they were, they knew what they could be. Let's get back to that. Fill the jars up. Fill them up. Fill them up. And as the head maitre d' began to taste the wine, he realized that this wine was better than the wine they had had before. Oh, what is Jesus trying to say? Guess what Jesus is trying to say? When you let Him touch the jar, when you let Him make the wine, when you let Him be the celebration, when you let Him be the cause of life, it will always be better than what we can distill. Amen? And his mama knew that. You know what, moms? I want to encourage you because I know you got this heartbeat. Always realize, Jesus will give your children more than the world can ever give them. Jesus' touch of the world will always be a greater taste than the cheapness of this world. See, we need to get in the Christian community, those who follow Jesus Christ. Our ultimate aim ought to be that our children are totally understanding of Jesus Christ. They can get all the awards, the trophies, and recognition of this world, and it fades really quick. I guarantee you, 6 months on the job, nobody will care you were a cum laude. You better be able to cut the numbers. When you graduate from high school and you go to college, and nobody cares where you went to high school. Nobody cares. Do the Jordan. Did you discover that? You went, well, I'm from Bowling Green High. I don't care. I'm from Warren East. I don't care. I'm from Warren Central. I don't care. I'm from Greenwood. I don't care. What they care about is what? Who you are, what you can do, and what you're going to be about. I don't care where you came from. They care what are you about. Jesus knew what Mary was about, blessing people. Now look what happens here. Moms, just keep it up, will you? And he brings the guy over and tells him, you've done something wrong here. You've brought the best last. You know what Jesus was saying? I'm here to change your tradition. The best will be last. Moms know that, don't they? So moms, I want to give you one big thank you today. Thank you all for having this intuitive, godlike ability to stay in there when it looks like it's all falling apart. How many of y'all found moms just do that? Women do that. My wife will do that better than I do. I mean, I've just, the world's come to an end. I can go Chicken Little in a heartbeat. How many of y'all ever, you know, remember Chicken Little? The sky is falling. And I'll be in the house, oh, it's over, honey, I'm telling you. How many of y'all have heard that, live with that? I'm telling you, honey. And she'll go, well, now what about, I don't want to hear about your what about. You know why? Because I know it's right. It'll all be there. It'll all work out. Mom's got an uncanny ability to do that. So I'm going to show you something. This miracle, the water and the wine, was not about wine. It's about first and last. We've missed it for many years because we're so hung up on wine. We're so stinking religious, we can't see any truth. I always ask people all the time, I say, what are y'all religious people going to do if God pops a cork in heaven? Protest? If you're there at all. So I found the people that knew Him least were those who thought they knew Him the most. And I found those who know Him are not the pious and the proper and the sanctimonious. But most of the time they're the servants who simply fill up water jars and watch Jesus do His great works. I'd be a servant. What was Mary asking her son Jesus to do? Be a servant. She said, we're out and you're in. You can do something about this. Jesus, honey, baby, boy, do something about this. And she knew he could. And he did. And Mr. Carter, look what happened. When Jesus activated who he was, this is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. And his disciples put their faith in him. Who spurred that revelation? Wasn't Daddy. I don't know where Joseph is. He's turning a dime somewhere. But where's... Who? Mama! Now, I know some of y'all have a hard time. Well, wouldn't have Jesus done that all on his own? I'm just telling you what the text says. And I'm sorry, the actual Bible doesn't fit your little theological system sometimes. And I'm sorry you have a real problem with God actually using human beings. But that's the game. God uses human beings. And that excites me more than God being some kind of celestial force who just intervenes every once in a while. But God uses mamas, and God uses daddies, and God blesses children, and God gets in the midst of the human experience with the Holy Spirit, and God goes to college graduation and high school graduation, and He goes to these places with us, and He lives life with us, and I'm really thankful that God goes to weddings. Amen? And He celebrates marriage in life in humanity, and He brings it to its fullness. Mama, Keep revealing Jesus. Because the more you do, the more the wine will flow. Let's define the wine as this. Celebration of life. And the more we are revealed who Jesus is, the stronger we will put our faith in who? Him. I thank you, moms, for your faith. I stand before you today. And I know some of the depths of Jesus Christ because of the faith of my mother and my father. But today's Mother's Day. I will always know my mother for one thing. Prayer. You know what I love about my mama's prayers? They were different prayers than the things I see go on today. It didn't take a banquet table and 14 hours of organization for her to gather together in prayer. And she didn't have to go through all this rigmarole. And she just prayed. She didn't organize her prayers. She lived them. Prayer was not a program. It was a way of life. Prayer was every moment, not some set-aside happening where she petitioned God. You knew when she was talking to you, she was praying to Him. You knew when you were out of line that you weren't going to deal just with Mama. She was going to bring in higher counsel. And when she got frustrated, she'd do the same thing as the Mother Mary did. You do whatever He tells you, boy. Oh, Jesus is going to tell me to go to church. Oh, Jesus is going to tell me not to do that because that's not going to bless my life. So, moms, I just want to encourage you today. Thanks. And keep it up. And thanks for raising us. Amen. And thanks for staying with us. And keep on going. Amen. Did y'all get anything out of this today? All right. Please don't write me 100 emails. I'm very firm that Jesus is sovereign. I already know that. I know Jesus is going to do His thing when He's going to do His thing. But I also know this. God uses human beings in God's plan, and He always has. And you can't deny that in Scripture. It's interesting to me that God didn't send Noah a boat. He told him to build it. By the way, for those of you all that are waiting for a check in the mailbox, I'd say God's probably got a job for you. Just the way God works. His miracles are this. He will be involved in the midst of the human experience to bring great things forth. Amen? There's the powerful revelation. All right, here's the revelation. That God can use a wedding to speak eternal life. God can use a ceremonial washing jar to make celebrative wine. And God can use the words of a mother to activate the first miracle. How many of you moms sitting by a miracle today? How many of you moms sitting beside a son or a daughter and you have no idea what you're raising? See, here's what's so exciting. See, I don't know, little man right here, he may be the President of the United States. He's got a nice tie. Looks better than the one George Bush wears. He might be the President of the United States someday. We don't know. That's why I love being around kids. You don't know who they are, and you better be nice to all of them. Because one day you're going to be old. I don't care what you do, you're going to be old. And that little kid you thought was going to be nobody will show up beside your bedside and say, "Hello, my name's Ralph Kamuma. I am the third grader that you picked on as my teacher. I am your neurosurgeon today. I will be cutting into your head." The very kid that you thought would amount to nothing graduated from Harvard, and I'm the best in my field. How many of y'all realize some of the rattiest kids in the world are now called leaders? It's kind of crazy, isn't it? Those who couldn't follow the rules end up making them. But bless all of them, amen? Mom, you don't know what you have. But here's what I want to end with. You make sure your children are revealed Jesus through you. Greatest gift of all. Amen? Well, let's stand together. Maybe today's your day. Come on, I want you to hear me. Maybe you're an honoring son. Maybe you're a wondering daughter. Guess what? Have you put Jesus in your life? I'm going to tell you right now, I can promise you, if you got a mama that loves Jesus, every night before she's laid her head on the pillow, she's prayed for your salvation. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. And she said, Lord Jesus, please, may my children know your salvation. May they know your love. May they know your joy. Today you may need to come and say, you know what? I'm going to let Jesus answer my mama's prayers because I am a sinner and I need Christ into my life and I need to be saved. And you repent of those sins just like Phil gave witness to, and you ask Jesus Christ in your life, guess what He's going to do? He's going to save you. You're going to be new forever. And you're going to drink some wine at the banquet table. Not now. Here's what I know. If Jesus gives you a glass to drink, it'll be all right.
Yes.
That's the way I look at it. Now, don't go down to the liquor store. Jesus didn't make that. We did. We did. I want to drink what Jesus made, not what we made. His is the best stuff. Because it won't pollute you. It will enhance you. Amen? So if you need to come to Jesus today, I do know this. That'd be the greatest Mother's Day moment of your mom's life, is to see you receive eternity, grace, forgiveness, and love. I guarantee it. And she wants you to know Jesus. Maybe today you need to be baptized. You hadn't done that. Maybe today you need to just come down to this altar with your mama and you need to grab her hand. You need to say, Mama, I'm 60 years old. And you're a beautiful old lady. And I want to thank you because my family is blessed and my family is beautiful. Because when I was a little kid, you held my hand and you would never quit praying, Mama. You would never quit praying, Mama. And I love you, Mama. And thank you for looking at Jesus and then looking back at me and saying, you do whatever He tells you to do for the rest of your life because I have faith in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Father who art in heaven, oh, how holy is your name. Father, there are people that need to be saved today. There are people's hearts that are breaking today, Lord. And I just lift up Deanna and Brian and Pastor Jeff and his wife Erin, as on this Mother's Day, they lost a child. But Jesus, this morning, early this morning, you found that child. And they're in heaven. And I just ask right now that they could see that, literally see that. And God, there may be some moms in here today that feel like they've lost a child. But Lord, I want to pray that you touch them right now and you let them know, Jesus, you knew and you know and you have their child. Just let them know that security. You have their child. And Lord, there's a lot of us that need to come and just give thanks. So Lord, I pray that this altar not be routine today, but it be marvelous. The taste of better things to come. Place of new wine, refreshing, and a new perspective of life. In the name of Jesus, and we'll say it in a very southern way, y'all come and let Him bless you like I know He will. Your mama would tell you this, do what He tells you because it always works. So come and let's do what He tells us. Amen. Hallelujah.